हरे कृष्ण जय राधा माधव उंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव उंज वल्लभ निर्वाण धारिया जन वल्लभ निर्वाण धारिया यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा वन चारी यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारिया जय ओम शपाद परमहंस प्रभुराचार्य अष्टोदर्शत श्री श्रीमद स्वामेन्द्र शिष्य भक्त वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम शपाद परमहंस प्रभुराचार्य अष्टोदर्शत श्री श्रीमद स्वामेन्द्र शिष्य भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। All glories assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। Hare Krishna. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, entitled Puranjan Becomes a Woman in the Next Life. Verse number 1. Narada Vacha Sainika Bhaya Namnoya Varheshman Dishtakarina प्रज्वार काल कन्याभ्याम विचारोर अवनेम इमाम। नारद उवाच सैनिकाभय नाम्नोय बर्हिष्मान् दिष्टकारिणा प्रज्वार काल कन्याभ्याम विचारोर अवनेम इमाम। नारद उवाच सैनिकाभय नाम्नोय बर्हिष्मान् दिष्टकारिणा प्रज्वार काल कन्याभ्याम् विचारोरवनीमिमाम्। नारद उवाच सैनिकाभय नाम्नोय ज्वारकालकन्याभ्याम् विचारोरवनीमिमाम्। नारद उवाच सैनिकाभय नाम्नोय विष्मादष्टकारिणा प्रज्वारकालकन्याभ्याम् जयरो रमने में माम। नारद उवाच मातजीस नारद उवाच ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ నారద ఉవాచ ద గ్రేట్ సేజ్ నారద కంటిన్యూడ్ టు స్పీక్ సైనిక ద సోల్జర్స్ భయ నామ్న భయ ఫియర్ యా ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ హో బర్హిష్మాన్ ఓ కింగ్ ప్రాచీని బరిషత్ దష్టకారిణ ద ఆర్డర్ క్యారియర్స్ ఆఫ్ డెత్ ప్రజ్వార విత్ ప్రజ్వార కాలకన్యాభ్యాం అండ్ విత్ కాలకన్యా విచారో ట్రావెల్డ్ అవనీం ఆన్ ఎర్త్ ఇమాం దస్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఐసీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద్. Translation. The great sage Narada continued, My dear King Prachini Varishat, afterward, the king of the Yavanas, whose name is fear itself, as well as Prajwara, Kalakanya, and his soldiers, began to travel all over the world. Purport. The period of life just prior to death is certainly very dangerous, because usually at this time, people are attacked by the weakness of old age, as well as many kinds of diseases. The diseases that attack the body are compared here to soldiers. These soldiers are not ordinary soldiers. for they are guided by the king of the Yavanas, who acts as their commander-in-chief. The word Dishtakarina indicates that he is their commander. When a man is young, he does not care for old age, but enjoys sex to the best of his satisfaction, not knowing that at the end of life, his sexual indulgence will bring on various diseases, which so much disturb the body that one will pray for immediate death. The more one enjoys sex during youth, the more he suffers in old age. Om Ajnana Tivirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakayam Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Shvapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnapadaya Shtaprishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnapadaya Krishnaprishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Nitinamine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Krapa Sindhu Vyayamacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha Vancha Tattva Atmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vidadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Seeking the blessings of all Vaishnavas for speaking on the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4, Chapter 28, just the first verse, entitled Puranjan Becomes a Woman in the Next Life. So we are almost in the fourth chapter of Puranjan series. It's quite a long series of events which is happening. And it can be quite confusing in terms of what exactly is the storyline happening. I understand Brahmacharis must be hearing day in and day out every day about this pastime, but for the benefit of those who don't hear on a regular basis and for myself. And just to refresh, I'll take it in brief in terms of the overview of this, especially of the previous chapter, little bit, just a recap to be in line with what's happening. And then we'll discuss on this particular verse. So on this particular verse, we'll discuss about combined attack, which is happening here, which is deadly. All three people with the soldiers being attacking combinedly. We'll discuss on how this pastime is relevant to us, just a brief. And the period of life before death is what Prabhupada is highlighting in this purport. And another aspect is the more one enjoys during youth, the more one suffers in old age. So in that we will discuss highlight a little bit on more one is trained in youth, the more one enjoys the fruits in old age. So just a brief recap, basically like 25th chapter starting on with characteristics of Puranjan is basically talking about the glory of material life. Glory, little bit of glory wherein the person begins to enjoy. Begins to find his field of enjoyment, Kshetra and Kshetrajna. In chapter 26, we find Puranjan is going for hunting, as it is described that usually he was not so keen on giving up the attachment with his wife or association with his wife, but that particular day he felt that and he went for hunting, which Prabhupada describes in the purport is described as sinful activity, that leaving, having a desire for material sense gratification and going for hunting, which basically is compared to sinful life. And then when he is tired, which means when the conscience arouses, when the conscience is awakened, at that time he returns to the palace, which is described figuratively as returning to the palace, and afterwards he gets refreshed. So when he gets refreshed, that is being described as again taking to some pious activities. After doing sinful activities, the conscience is awakened. After that, again the person starts committing some pious activities, and then he ends up cajoling his wife, trying to win her heart, trying to make her pleased with him again. So that's how the chapter ends. And the last chapter, 27th chapter, is futility of material life, which basically the problems that he's been facing. Now what he is actually able to see, that in a very short period of time of enjoyment, eventually he is going to grow old. So what is happening is that Puranjan, after cajoling his wife, enjoys with her and eventually begets 1100 sons and 110 daughters. So basically they enjoy for a long period of time, after which eventually now the real futility of material life starts. So very interesting, Narad Muni is talking to Prachini Parishad about the pastime of Puranjan, where Prachini Parishad may initially not be aware that it is about him, but eventually he is getting to know that he is actually talking about him. Like, and this is something which is very relevant to us also, because we might be thinking that Prachini Parishad is not understanding that Narada Muni is talking to him about a story of Puranjan, but it is basically directed towards him. Similarly, somebody else might be laughing, or great saintly personalities might be laughing at us, thinking that we are laughing at Prachini Parishad, not understanding that he is not understanding the pastime is meant for him. So basically Puranjan is each one of us. Puranjan. Pura is basically the place, one who basically wants to enjoy in that field of Kshetrajna. So each one of us have that enjoying mentality, especially that's one of the basic reasons, Ichha Dvesha Samuttena. That's one of the reasons why we come in this material world. So we have a strong enjoying mentality. So each one of us can be actually termed as Puranjan, whether it is a man or a woman. So each one of us has that particular tendency. So yesterday Sadayugi Prabhu gave a nice class, and he was mentioning about the relevance of the parking. If somebody makes an announcement, one car is damaged in the car parking. So we might feel compassion. Oh, somebody's car is badly damaged in the car parking. But when the number is announced, and if it happens to be ours, then we might be in a different frame of mind. That compassion will change to passion. So like that, if we do not realize that what is being spoken here, the whole pastime, what is happening here, is actually also very much relevant to us, we may not be in the pastime. Actually, last 3-4 days when I was hearing, I am feeling quite fearful reading about Bhaya, Prajwara, is all that. So if the more we get into it little more, so the more we get affected by it, and which is of course the purpose of it. At the same time, one needs to have healthy fear, not that we get a paranoid fear hearing about Prajwara and Bhaya and all that. So it's very much relevant, this particular pastime. So what happens is Puranjan is basically getting old. So what Narad Muni is figuratively describing is that there is a king named Chandavega who attacks the city. Gandharvas, they come and attack. And he is accompanied by 720 soldiers, 360 of one category, 360 of another category, which denotes the day, 360 days in a year and 360 days in the, in 360 nights in a year. So Chandavega represents time personified, which means imperceptibly we are being attacked. Imperceptibly means invisibly, faintly, subtly. It's like every day, Ayur Harati Vaipum San. Every setting and rising of the sun, basically we are losing one day. Of course, devotees go more closer to Krishna and non-devotees will go more closer to the death. So when Chandavega attacks, and along with his 360 soldiers, the one commander-in-chief, which is a Pranavayu, he comes out to fight. But it, as Prabhupada describes, that over a period of time, because of fighting, one person fighting with 720 soldiers, he becomes weak, he becomes tired. Prabhupada writes that one can fight with many soldiers for some time, but not all the time. That is why eventually in a period of 100 years, one actually falls down, one actually gives unto death. So he becomes very tired, and eventually Kalakanya, who is the daughter of Chandavega, Kalakanya, basically she comes and she is in search of a husband. And because she is typically figuratively described as old age or Jara. So when she is in search of a husband, she roams all around, but because she is old age, nobody likes her, nobody invites her. And one day she finds Narad Muni has descended on the earth, and she finds him attractive. Narad Muni is a celibate, very attractive. So she comes and approaches him. Narad Muni could very easily reject based on his tapasya bal. And eventually Narad Muni gets a curse that he cannot stay in one place for a long period of time, which was also a blessing in disguise. And Narad Muni directs him, saying that you can go to Yavanaraj. You go to Yavanaraj, approach him. So Kalakanya approaches Yavanaraj in order to be accepted as a wife in front of Yavanaraj. Very beautifully Prabhupada's purpose describe that Yavanaraj also wanted to engage her in one sense in Krishna's service only, in terms of taking care of this material world, that how everybody, those who are basically everybody will need to be attacked by old age and eventually death actually. So Bhaya, Yavanaraj, basically engages Kalakanya in attacking all the people. So that's what is the basic story. But a twist there is that Yavanaraj does not accept him as a wife. Yesterday's verse we saw that very, very distinctly. I was quite surprised to see that, because if you read only the translation, we might feel Yavanaraj looks to be so sense controlled. That Yavanaraj, the Kalakanya approaches him to be accepted as a wife, but he says, no, I don't want you as a wife, I will accept you as a sister. If one reads only the translation, one might feel he's so sense controlled, but Prabhupada writes very clear in the purport that he had intention of illicit sex. That is, in Yavanas, in Mlechas, the culture, or without a culture basically, is that they may want to engage with mother, sister or daughter, which is not talked about in the civilized society. Like usually you find in the animal society sometimes, like typically of pigs, they may not discriminate or identify between what is the relationship. So that's what is being spoken. So if you don't read Prabhupada's purports, you might be bewildered. Because like you find when Arjuna goes to the heavenly planets, when he meets Urvashi, he's staring her for a long time, and she feels, oh, he's also in love with me like everybody else. But when Urvashi approaches Arjuna, Arjuna says, I was looking at you like a mother, because I was looking at you considering Indra's relationship with you. So how I can think of enjoying with you? Similarly, we find in fact that particular pastime itself, when he was cursed to become Brahmanala, eventually becomes Brahmanala, where he was staying in the kingdom of Virat. At that time, the period of Agyatavas, 1 year, he utilizes that period to teach dance to Uttara. And eventually after, at the end of it, where when Arjuna is able to defeat all the Kauravas single-handedly at the end of the Agyatavas, so Uttara also wants to accept him as a husband. And at that time, again, Arjuna expresses, saying that I can accept you as my daughter-in-law, but not as a wife. So this is civilized culture which we say. For Yavanaraj, when Kalakanya approached him as a wife, he accepted him as a sister, apparently. But Prabhupada mentions the purport, he was still thinking of illicit sex, he wanted to still engage with her. So that is the difference between a civilized society versus Mlecha society. So what is being described here is Prajwara. So Kalakanya says, Yavanaraj. Yavanaraj says, I have a brother here who is Prajwara. Prabhupada describes Prajwara is the favor sent by Lord Vishnu. 107 degrees. I feel one more is more auspicious, but still, but that itself is too high. 108 may be desirable, auspicious number, but as a favor, it is not so welcomeable for people. So Prajwara is described as a favor sent by Lord Vishnu. Just that very high temperature, which is what we'll find in this particular chapter, that Prajwara will set fire to the body wherein the temperature increases. So, Yavanaraj says, I have a brother here, this is Prajwara, and I accept you as my sister. So, all three of us, that means two brothers, one sister, all three of us, along with my soldiers, we will attack this city now. So, basically, this is a deadly attack, combined. So, individually, they are powerful. Bhaya, Kalakanya is Jara, and Prajwara is high fever. High temperature. Individually, they are powerful. They are now attacking with their soldiers, which is figuratively being described as diseases. So these two brothers, one sister, along with their soldiers named diseases, are simultaneously attacking the city of Puranjan, Panchal, the body. So this is a combined attack, which is basically very, very deadly. In those days, when we used to have this National Youth Festival and all, we used to have this booths, question answer booths. That time there was to be Jayadrath Maharaj, His Holiness Jayadrath Maharaj and His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Maharaj. We used to call that as double punch. Jayadrath Maharaj himself is quite, each of them are extremely efficient in terms of answering questions. A question may be 5 lines, the answer may be just 1 sentence, or sometimes just 2-3 words. So they are like so precise and succinct. And both of them, Bhakti Vikas Maharaj also were like known for his cutting edge technologies in terms of answering questions. So when both of them are simultaneously sitting in one booth, we'll call it as a double punch. So it's like combined attack. And when both are simultaneously attacking, the youngsters who are coming in the booth will get completely bewildered about it, what's happening here. So generally a combined attack is very powerful and very deadly to resist, just like Abhimanyu when he was attacked by 6 Maharathis simultaneously. If it would have been 1:1, there would have been probably good chances. But when 6 Maharathis are cornering one, it's a very challenging situation, and which is what is being described here as the Pranavayu is simultaneously fighting with 720 soldiers. 360 days, 360 nights in a year, figuratively, against time, basically. So, as Prabhupada says, we can fight for a long period with many soldiers for some time, but not all the time. So, eventually, the body actually has to fall. So, sometimes it is definitely possible to overcome the combined attack, like Krishna can do that in terms of Jarasandha. Jarasandha gathers all the soldiers, practically all the demoniac people together, and then comes and tries to come and attack Mathura, tries to attack Krishna, and Krishna single-handedly defeats the entire army, just leaves Jarasandha, he goes, again gathers all the demoniac people, again comes. So it's in one way Krishna is releasing him so that he can gather all the demoniac people and Krishna can fulfill the purpose of his appearance, dharma, in order to establish dharma, in order to establish religious principles. So sometimes it is very much possible, but even in a long period of time, especially for conditioned souls, we may not be able to attack, we may not be able to resist the attack of time, and especially of the days and nights. It is practically impossible, which is why it is described the timelines is practically 100 years. So, Yavanaraj is basically Bhaya personified. And similarly, even if I see in the same continuation of Jarasandha's pastime, when simultaneously Kalayavan attacks Mathura. So, it is described that this Yavana who is fear personified. Similarly, Kalayavan was created. Was created actually in order to create in what do you call, you can say, instigate fear in the Yadu dynasty, in the hearts of Yadus. Because once Gargamuni was taunted by his brother-in-law. So when somebody has a relationship, there can be, it's okay, you can pull the leg, you can, based on the relationships. But when somebody is not having that high relationships and someone else is laughing at it, then he gets reaction. The brother-in-law did not get reaction of Gargamuni. But the Yadus who laughed at Gargamuni, they are getting a reaction. So Gargamuni desires that I want to create something which will I just want to instill fear in the hearts of Yadus. I don't want to kill them. It's not like Indra, you know, at the time of Govardhan Leela. You know, he just wanted to destroy the Vrajavasis. But Gargamuni was thinking, I just want to instill some fear in their hearts. So thinking like this, he creates this Kalayavan in some Yavani wife by getting blessings from Lord Shiva. So eventually Kalayavan is created, and this Kalayavan, that's how he just is able to instill fear in the hearts of Yadus. So already Jarasandha is attacking, simultaneously Kalayavan is attacking. And that is where at that particular time Krishna creates Dwarka. Keeps all the Yadus safeguarded in one place, and then he goes and fights Jarasandha and Kalayavan. So basically Kalayavan was created to instill fear only. Similarly here also you find Bhaya. Yavana Raj is basically Bhaya personified. He's actually talking about, he's instilling fear in the hearts. And his soldiers are diseases. Which means we get one disease, immediately there is fear. We get more diseases, and as age progresses, that is what is eventually acceptable. That is what one will be able to realize in the long period of time. So, in this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about period of life before death, period of life prior to death. Of course, this will be a theory for me, and whatever we have heard, especially from Srila Prabhupada books, and whatever we have heard from devotees, is something what we can try to share, because people with more experience of the age will have more wisdom, but we may talk more in terms of theoretical understanding, which is also helpful, so that it's just like, it's good to know when there is a danger around the corner. So it's like, okay, this is what I am going to expect down the line. So if we are a little bit aware of it, if we are a little bit conscious of it, we can be probably more prepared. Because typically old age is a time when the senses become very weak. Especially in youth, there is a lot of pride. There is a lot of pride simply of being a youth. Forget about making any accomplishments. Just that the body is healthy, we feel proud about it, you know, because I can move my hands and legs anyhow. I have a lot of energy levels. I have a lot of capacity. You know, all that. But as the body grows old, the senses become very weak, and somehow or other, when we are young, we may not estimate or understand what is that feeling, because when the senses are strong, we are not able to figure out, or we are not able to put ourselves in that shoes, thinking that how will it feel when the senses are not cooperating. Right now, you know, we can probably serve even 10 hours, 12 hours, 15 hours, depending on our capacities. But as the age grows, as the body becomes older, the body starts deteriorating, which is what we will find. So old age is in that sense can be quite frightening, because the senses actually become weak. We are not able to depend on ourselves, what to speak of others. And we actually become dependable on others in one sense, because of the senses becoming very weak. So Kulashekar Maharaj describes in Mukundamala Sutra a very beautiful verse. Idam shariram parinama peshalam patatyavashyam shatasandhi jarjaram. It says, idam shariram parinama peshalam patati avashyam. It says, it is inevitable. It is obvious that this body has to fall. Patati avashyam. Shatasandhi jarjaram. The hundreds of joints which are there in the body is going to become deprecated. It's basically, as it is described, becomes stiffened. When the joints become very stiff, then you're not able to function. There needs to be air passing, which needs to enable the proper functioning of this body. But in actuality, what happens as the age grows, the joints, the hundreds of joints which are there, actually becomes very stiffened. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings in, Prabhupada explains in one of the purports, Vriddhakala Aila Sabasuka Bhagala. When Vriddhakala comes, when old age comes, all happiness runs away or flies away. Sabasuka Bhagala. Prabhupada quotes that in one of the purports. Very beautiful description about an old age. So again, as I say, it might appear very theoretical, but what we need to understand is that this is a combined attack which is very deadly. One is, the point is, individually they are very powerful. Old age itself is powerful. The fear itself is very powerful. And jara, this prajwar, high fever, it's very powerful. When all of them attack, along with the soldiers named diseases, that makes the situation worse. Even if individually they are very powerful, what to speak of all the combined attack. So, other than that combined attack, what is most difficult is imperceptible attack. So, one is a combined attack, second is imperceptible. Without even our knowledge, subtly, every day, Ayur Arati Vaipomsam, every single day and night. So, this is how illusory energy also works. It is Prakshepatmika and Avaranatmika. Prakshepatmika is like beating a person, just kicking a person. But Avaranatmika is you put a blanket on the person and then beat. The first condition is at least we are aware who is beating. If in case we want to take a revenge, if we have some energy. But second case is somebody is putting a blanket on top and then beating. So beating also is very strong, and at the same time we are not aware what's happening here. We are like in a coma stage. So this is what it is: the combined attack and imperceptible attack. So this is Prakshepatmika and Avaranatmika simultaneously, which makes the situation actually very, very difficult. And Prabhupada again describes in other purports, somehow everybody responds to this, what we are hearing, very differently. Whatever we are hearing about old age, everybody responds differently. One who is sane person, he actually becomes fearful. One who is a sane person, he becomes fearful when he reads about old age, when he hears about old age, when he sees other people who are getting old. One who is insane, he does not care about old age. He does not care about death. And he continues to enjoy unrestricted sense gratification, because he does not believe in the concept or the philosophy that there is life after death. Only when one is concerned that there is a life after death, will one be more conscious and cautious in terms of how to lead one's life. So those who are sane get fearful hearing about death or old age. Those who are insane do not bother about what happens in old age and death. And Prabhupada says the third category, those who are intelligent, that is the devotee class, those who are chatur, those who are intelligent, they take this old age, the knowledge about old age, as an impetus for spiritual life. When old age comes, rather than simply becoming fearful, now my senses are not functioning, now my senses are not to the fullest power or capacity, rather than just having some fear, one actually takes it as an impetus for spiritual life. Okay, anyway, quite a less period of time is remaining. Less or more, whatever is anyway, it's like minus only, 100 minus whatever is our current life is what is the maximum, which most of us are aware. 100 also is too much to, century is too much to expect in this particular day and age. So the response is different. So those who are sane, that means those who are intelligent, take this, that means when the body is growing old, take this as an impetus to take strongly to spiritual life. Which is why we find even Yavanaraj actually engaged Kalakanya in the service of materialistic people, in the service of the material world only. Its purpose was to inflict fear, and so that people, it is, in one sense, if you say in the material world, It's a benediction not to be youthful all the time. In spiritual world it might be probably, but in material world, if one is youthful all the time, navayavanam, what does a conditioned soul think about? A conditioned soul, when a person has energy, in fact, in today's time, like yesterday was International Yoga Day, in today's time, people do even yoga in order to get more sensual strength, or to speak of, you know, other things. So, in today's time, if you find people are continuously youthful, it's actually not a blessing, but rather a curse only, because people will engage in more sinful activities. Prabhupada very clearly talks about in the purport, jara does not harass a devotee. Jara may inflict, there may be an attack, but it does not harass a devotee, especially a devotee who is in the follower of Narada Muni, and has the strength, and is following in the footsteps of the determination which Narada Muni has. If we follow in their footsteps, jara does not harass a devotee. That means one will grow old, one is growing old, like Prabhupada used to talk about the cat and the kitten. That the mouse, for the mouse, to see the cat's mouth, that is death personified. But for the kitten, to see the cat's mouth, that is, it's very pleasing, because he is getting shelter in that. So jara does not harass a devotee. That's what Prabhupada explains. At the same time, we have to understand that when the going gets tough, only the tough get going. So when old age comes, again, it depending on how people respond to it, depending on how people are trained in it, in terms of how to actually make progress and how to actually still continue to advance. Because otherwise, we are used to taking shelter of excuses rather than taking shelter of Krishna. If we search for excuses, we will find excuses. Seek and you shall find. If we search excuses, we'll find excuses, and we'll take shelter of those excuses. If we search for Krishna, so even if difficulties are there, instead of trying to take shelter of excuses, if we take shelter of Krishna, we will get some way, if not completely to escape from the excuse, at least some detour, some way to get some relief from the excuses. Of course, there might be some genuine excuses at different phases of life, but in general, if we take more shelter of Krishna rather than the excuses, we will definitely benefit a lot from this. Because generally we find those who are youngsters, if there is an exam, we feel we want to postpone. We want to postpone the rounds, or, you know, if there is some cold and cough, we want to take some break. If it is raining, like now it is rainy season, of course not yet started much, but I remember Vamshi Vandan Prabhu quoting while one of the classes here, that early morning 4:30 or 4:20, he is a little early waker and he goes early. So 4:20 he was about to go for the Mangala. He was staying in another building, I think Mayapur's someplace, another building was close by the same campus. So it was raining, so I was wondering now how to go to the temple hall from the ashram, from a Brahmachari ashram. And then immediately he saw one of the sannyasis was there, and he also saw it was raining. He just grabbed some plastic cover or something, he just put it on his head, and he ran towards the temple hall. So he was just quoting, he was explaining here in the Bhagavatam only, that I was wondering what to do, it's raining, should I go or should I go late, or, you know, I mean, he was in a dilemma. But then he saw sannyasi, a pure devotee, he has a natural attraction, he just, the cover is there or not there, he just ran. So we in our young stage, we basically take shelter of excuses, and rather than taking shelter of Krishna. Of course, I'm talking to myself also, or rather more myself rather than all of you. But if we take shelter of Krishna, we actually will be able to benefit more rather than excuse. Because even if the excuse is genuine, we are still weak. Even if our excuse is genuine, we will still remain weak if we don't take shelter of Krishna. So towards the end, Prabhupada mentions in the purport the another theme, which is more one enjoys in youth, more one suffers in old age. It's a fact. It's, I mean, even in our simple examples, we can understand. Yeah, some days if we laugh too much, No? Each one of us understand, you know, something is going to happen. You know, if I laugh too much, 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, we are going for a picnic, 3 days picnic, and then if you laugh too much, then something eventually, you know, happens. Something is around the corner, is just lurking in our hearts. It's like that. So that's the norm of this material world, sukha dukha. You know, it is duality is prevalent. In fact, in one sense, it's a blessing that dukhalayam asashvatam. If it is only dukhalayam, that's also very more miserable. But it's asashvatam, it's temporary. That means even if misery comes, it's a matter of time until you pass the tunnel, and then again you'll be able to see the light. So that's how the world is being designed, provided we have that patience to pass through the tunnel. But that's how it is being designed. It is always there. So if there is a long period of suffering, there has to be some relief at the end. There has to be, because otherwise it's like, you know, EMIs. You know, if somebody takes a loan, he gets an EMI, which is basically it's not easy, but it is so called easy that it is monthly installment rather than paying at one point of time. Similarly, we get things in installments, and eventually one is able to pay it on. But it's a fact that if we enjoy too much in the youth, we might have to suffer a lot in the old age. So we might start feeling, is it better to enjoy in youth, or is it better to enjoy in old age? Because in old age, what is there to enjoy? The senses are not cooperating only. But in youth, at least the senses are powerful. Is it not wise to enjoy in youth rather than so-called enjoy in old age? But the it's like proportional. To the degree there is material enjoyment in the youth, to that degree, the pain is unbearable in the old age, which one is unable to realize when one is youthful stage. Which is why Prabhupada in the purport, if you see, he says the pain becomes so inevitable, unbearable, that he practically prays for death. He practically prays for death. So when one is young, one will not be able to realize. It's like we feel, it's okay, we will say it later. No, right now, because we are conditioned soul thinks from prayer's perspective. Right now, what am I getting in hand? What am I getting right now? Rather than thinking, what will I get 20 years later? What will I get next life? So conditioned soul thinks from prayer's perspective. But Prabhupada is very clear. It is more one enjoys in youth, more one suffers in old age. Like if you typically ask, ladies, is it for example, easygoing mother or a tough mother-in-law? If the option is given, easygoing mother means, that means in your childhood you are being nicely taken care, probably without much discipline and other things. You are happy basically. But if you get a tough mother-in-law, so it's like which one would you prefer? Now, talking about Vedic times, we have to understand that people would get married earlier, which means the time with the mother, time spent at the mother's house is very less. And even by the time you are a teenage, you are already married. And so that means the majority of your life you are spending with mother-in-law. No? So that's what we have to ask. And just so that it's not targeted only for women, so that even men can understand. So would we prefer a easygoing sister or a tough wife? No. So for those who are married. So that means, whom are we going to stay more? What is the majority of our life? No? Probably saying one for brahmachari also. So what is the majority of our time spent? Of course, in today's time, you know, the ratio might be, the proportions may differ, vary. I mean, people may have choose a easygoing mother and they may not want to stay with the mother-in-law. So that's a very different scenario. So we may want a happy, enjoying youthful and happy, enjoying old age also. So if we want happy in both stages, that is only possible if we are equipoised. That is only possible if we are if we have good training. Because one who is balanced, sukhe dukhe samay kritva, labha labho jaya jayo. In all conditions of life, so that's what training is basically meant for, isn't it? That means adjust in any situation and keep marching ahead. Gangai vogam udanvati. When the Ganges flows from a very high, from the hilltops, so it finds some boulders, it finds some rocks, it finds some trees. So either underneath or above or sideways. Gangai vogam udanvati. So it says, that means adjust in our life, either above, down, sideways, and keep marching ahead. So that is what training is ultimately meant for. That means training, just like, so the more one is trained in youth, the more one enjoys the fruits in old age. So what is that training actually? The training is to be able to survive in any condition of life, materially and spiritually. To be able to survive in any condition of life, materially and spiritually. So I'll just briefly touch upon five aspects. I'll not expand on that. So what should basically the training be on? The training, one aspect is discipline. Again, I will not expand much, but just to get an understanding of an overview, the discipline is in terms of self-control, in terms of tongue is two ways. One is in terms of taste. Like sometimes as children we might say, I don't like this sabji, I don't like that food. So we may have a liking. We have a right to have a liking. Person means likes and dislikes will be there. But whatever comes in our plate is what we deserve. We may have a liking and disliking, but what comes in our plate is what we deserve for today. This is what Krishna has sent. So, one is sense control. In terms of discipline, there is sense control, tongue, which has two functions. One is taste, and other is speech. That is more deadly. Applies to me also. And behavior. Discipline in behavior, which is basically the Vaishnava etiquette aspects. So, this is one aspect of discipline. Another aspect is, in order to learn some skills in life, which is basically useful in our daily age. So it applies, again you can bifurcate as materially as well as spiritually. Yes, to learn some skills in life. This is what training should basically constitute. When we learn some useful skills in the long term, whether we are in youthful stage or we are in old age, one will be able to handle that. Third is to be able to handle things, very important. To be able to handle things in and especially during limitations. Four categories. One is limitation of time. Even if we are able to do some X aspect, somehow, whether we are able to do it in a limited time, whether we are able to do something in limited space. I remember earlier days when devotees would go for yatras in trains, that time, especially ashram days, early mornings when you're going for a yatra, you get down and the pipe, the outside that railway station, in the pipe, devotees will be able to take bath and will be able to wear their clothes. And I've seen devotees wearing, and I myself also have, in the railway toilets, how to wear a dhoti. Inside the railway toilet, fresh dhoti. So you have to remove the old one and wear the fresh one without it getting contaminated by all the things. So it's basically limitation of space. How do you adjust? So basically, if we learn the worst conditions, we can survive anywhere. That is what training is basically meant for. So limitation of time, limitation of space, limitation of money, when Lakshmi is less. That means if you have too much, you know how to spend. But when you have too less, we should also know how to spend. And another, yes, resources, managers. When there is less, resources. So, in shortage of time, space, money and resources. So learning to handle things even in terms of shortage or limitations. Another important aspect, fourth one, is to learn to handle people. That's more difficult than handling things. Learning to handle people with emotions, obviously. And what to speak of? The diversification. So that is another aspect of training, is to learn to handle people. And most important, the fifth one, which will come eventually, is to learn principles, qualities and values in life, which we want to eventually apply in life, as it's an ongoing thing which continues to happen in our life. So the more one is trained in youth, the more one bears the fruits in the old age. At the same time, Prabhupada is very hope-giving. I just don't want to end with saying that only youths can, those who are trained in youth only can enjoy the fruits. Prabhupada says it's never too late. Prabhupada very beautifully quotes that Krishna consciousness is so powerful that even a late beginner can become a lover of God, provided he follows the regulator principles of freedom. Even a late beginner can become a lover of God. So it's the power of Krishna consciousness, and it's the power of if one is sincere, even if one starts late, still there is not much of a loss. One can still march ahead in Krishna consciousness. So this is what the purport is talking about, the two particular themes we discussed, that we discussed about how the old age, the time prior to death, how it basically is very challenging, especially because the senses become very weak. And as Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, that Vriddha Kala Aila Sabha Sukha Bhagala. So at the same time, different people respond differently. Those who are sane are fearful, those who are insane are indifferent to it and continue to enjoy, and those who are intelligent and devotees, then they will take this as an impetus to take more to spiritual life. And the more one, the other theme, more one enjoys, the more one suffers in the old age. More one enjoys in youth, more one suffers in old age. Similarly, we discussed, more one is trained in youth, the more one is enjoys the fruits in the old age. So instead of being overwhelmed by this set of two brothers and one sister, that is Yavanaraj, Prajwar and Kalakanya, along with their soldiers, instead of being overwhelmed by these two brothers and one sister, if we take shelter of Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra, these two brothers and one sister, we will, and their soldiers, parampara, guru parampara, if we take shelter of them, we will actually stand to benefit a lot from this purports. Prabhupada's purports are so enlivening and so wonderful that we can definitely learn a lot from this. So while it is true that the body is becomes very old and senseless, sort of towards the old age it becomes very difficult, as again Kulashekar speaks about that, what is that verse? Idam shariram parinama peshalam patatti avashyam Shatajandi Jarjaram, that becomes very, very deprecated, it is being described. So that is why Kim Aushadam Prichasi Mudakudrumate says, what Aushad is required, what medicine is required? It says, Niramayam Krishna Rasayanam Piba. That is why drink the Krishna elixir. Niramayam Krishna Rasayanam Piba. If we drink this, that will benefit our life a lot. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.